Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 family. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody is doing well. I hope we're ready for an amazing show today. I am on Blog Talk, as you know, and I'm on a live show on YouTube, so I do both at the same time. I hope everybody is having a great day so far. It's a Friday. Happy Friday, family. we are in for a treat, of course. I say this every show because every show we are in for a treat. I hope you're woke. My job is Reconstruction 2020 and going into 2021. I'm very excited about next year. I think we're going to be in for a few surprises next year because this year was something else, and I don't see it getting any better. I hope everybody is doing well. I hope everybody is having a wonderful day. I hope everybody had a good, I don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but I know some of you do. But I wish that we as Black people would start doing our research and start understanding our history and start understanding why it is we were taught to do certain things in the first place. There is a book. Oh, my goodness. What is the name of this book? My book. What is the name of? God. Oh, my goodness. Hold on. There is Chancellor Williams, and it's the destruction. Hold on. I'm going to get this book because I want you guys to try to read this book. It's a really good book, and it's amazing. And the name of the book is The Destruction of a Black Civilization. And NFAC guy has been talking about this book, and I'm telling you, it's an amazing book. If you guys read this book, everybody, it should be a mandatory read. If you're Black, this book should be a mandatory read because it's such an amazing book. I'm telling you, it's really an amazing book. Let me give you guys a topic so that you guys could understand what we're going to talk about, because I see that Black folk are having a really hard time recognizing who's for you and who's not. And we are looking at some people and thinking that they have your best interest at heart, and they do not, okay? We're giving people passes that don't deserve passes. We're forgiving a lot of stuff that we shouldn't be forgiving. We are looking over some things that we shouldn't be looking over because Black people that look like us are doing it, and it's kind of getting us confused. So I want to come today to kind of help us to recognize, be one, okay? Who has your back? How do we recognize be one? How do we recognize? We say that we're be one, and if somebody comes up to us and they don't say that they're be one, we have to hear what's coming out of their mouth, okay? Be one, how to recognize them. That is the topic. I need us to understand, because a person looks Black, like Obama, he looked Black, but he didn't have a Black, you know, he didn't, you know, have a heart for Black people. Kamala Harris looks Black, but she does not, you know, Black is not on her birth certificate. Jesse Jackson looks Black. Al Sharpton looks Black, but they don't have a Black agenda. They used to, but for years they have not. Elijah Cummings, John Lewis did not have a Black agenda. They talked Black. They talked about the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King, okay? Now, who we can recognize as having a Black agenda, and that's who B1 is, people that have a Black agenda, and people that's going to have your back, people that's going to know that it's important and what's important for Black people and move toward our freedom and toward doing things that's going to enrich being Black, or that's going to promote being Black, or that's going to take care of Black people. That's who we have to start recognizing Blackness. Daniel Cameron, who looks Black but married to a white woman, is not B1. It's very hard to be B1 if you're not married to a Black individual. If you're Black, a Black woman, you have to have a Black man, or if you're a Black man, you have to have a Black woman. But if you look Black, but you do not circle yourself around a lot of Black people, to me, you're not Black. You don't have a B1 agenda, okay? And, you know, you have some people that's married to white women or you know, or white men and say, oh, yeah, I'm B1, but no, you're not B1. If you're not surrounding yourself around Black people, you're not, you pretty much you're safe enough. And I'll tell anybody, if you're married to a white woman or you're married to a white man or your surroundings are white people, that means that you're safe to them and you're not a threat to them. So that's why you can have white friends. Okay, that's why you can call white folk your friends, because to them you're safe. And they probably are your friend. But if you act like somebody like myself, I don't have any white friends. I just don't. I don't dislike white people. I just don't have any white friends because the way I think. Okay, I think different. And some Black people, I don't be friends with a lot of other Black people either, because some Black people are not B1. And my speech, they would consider it racism, or my speech, you know, because I'm Black conscious and I love Black people, and Black people, I have a heart for Black people. So a lot of people that will listen to me, they go, oh my God, she's racist or she sounds racist. But no, it means I have a heart and I love my own. And it does not mean that I hate anybody else, okay? And I've heard that, you know, from different people that'll come and say, oh, my God, you're racist. No, I can't be racist. I don't have authority or I don't have power over anybody but myself, okay? And being a racist means you have power over another group of people and you do whatever it is to stop that group of people from succeeding or getting ahead. Now that's racism, okay? Let me give you Blog Talk. Let me give you the number, and then we're going to continue. The number to call in for Blog Talk, if you want to call, is 563-999-3682. Again, 563-999-3682. And I'm trying to help us to recognize B1. I'm trying to help us to recognize when you know, when somebody come to you and the conversation is not B1, then they're not B1. You can tell a conversation of B1 is the Black Panthers. Remember, the Black Panthers, they had a Black agenda. They started lunches for the Black children and breakfast for the Black children. Then they had their weapons, and they were going out patrolling their communities, making sure everybody in their community was fine, making sure that no more police brutality was going on. And what happened? A lot of people criminalized. A lot of people, like your president, Hoover, at the time, criminalized them and put them on the tariff list. But I don't recall any of the Black Panthers hanging anybody. I don't recall them cutting babies out of anybody's belly. I don't recall them feeding our babies to alligators. I don't call them burning people alive. I don't recall them buck-breaking our men. I don't call them raping our children. I don't recall them raping the women. I don't recall a lot of what they label our Black Panthers as. I don't recall. I do recall Kyle Rittenhouse, who is 17, a white young white man who shot two rioters. I call him. He murdered two rioters, and he just was released from prison or jail on bail. I don't recall. Now, that I can recall, and I can say racist, okay? But when I looked at the Black Panthers, who was, and they said Kyle was defending his neighborhood. He was defending himself. I don't know how you can come out of your house leaving with a weapon in your hand and chase people down, or you're going to patrol, you're in a parade, or you're marching or whatever, and if you know, you've got an AR-15, and you say you're going out there to you know, you shot two people because they were, you were in defense of your safety. I don't know how that could work. I don't even know how you could say you were defending yourself when you were out there with a weapon. Your mom drove you across the line, and you were sitting in the car with her and with a shotgun, but then, you know, things got away, and you said, oh, I was defending myself. So that worked for them, and I'm sure it'll work for other white kids. And they'll get a chance also to evade the law. But I want to help us to recognize when we say B1, what does that mean? It means people that look like me and that has a Black agenda, somebody that you know that's got your back. We don't stop giving passes to people that look Black that ain't Black, that people that look Black, and we're not listening to them tell you, I'm not going to do anything for the Black community. And we call and we still say, oh, my God, we got the first Black African-American woman in office. No, she's not Black family. She told you she is not going to do anything for Black America. She told us that. But we still want to put her in the category of being Black. No, when people tell you, you have to listen. Biden showed you who he was. But we still want to put him and say, oh, he's going to have our back. Oh, he's going to do this for the Black community. He didn't say that. Stop hearing stuff that people aren't saying. Stop, like Obama. He did his book. He did an interview on Charlemagne the God, or what do you call it, Breakfast Club. He did an interview. Now he looks Black. He always has looked Black, but Obama has never sounded Black to me. He has never had a Black agenda, and he's always telling Black people, oh, you have to wait for that. We can't do that right now. You're going to have to wait. Well, why am I waiting again when the Jews didn't have to wait? LGBT don't have to wait. I'm just saying. So why do we have to wait? When white folks need something, when the Jews need something, all they have to do is go and ask and they get, LGBT ask and they get, but Black folks ask and we get, oh, you have to wait. I heard that, you know, we hear that all the time. But we have got to stop giving folks passes. I need us to recognize what B1 looks like. We're not recognizing that. Roland Martin is not B1. Anybody that's telling you to vote for white supremacy or anybody that's trying to keep you and talking about everybody or they're coming out of their mouth and saying, well, we're going to do, you know, America's for everybody. Well, we understand that, but what's America, what's Biden going to do for just black folk, the people that put him in office, what is his plan just for us? That's what it's time for us to hear. And it's time for us to hear them say, oh, this is what we're going to do for just black people. Not we're going to do it for colored people, because right now they're calling everybody colored. You know, they call all the Puerto Ricans, the Mexicans, the Spanish. We call them colored. Okay? So we need to hear out of their mouth them say black folk. Okay? For us to understand that they mean us. They mean they're going to do this and that for us. But we're giving people passes that's not saying we're going to do anything for black people. And we're just assuming, or we said, oh, we'll wait and see. No, we don't wait and see. I have to hear you say black. I have to hear, and I have to look at your past and know, oh, he's B1. Just like Marcus Garvey. He was for black people. He had a plan to take black folk back to Africa. Who interfered with that plan? Family. W.E. Du Bois, right? Okay, E.B. Du Bois, right? He interfered with that plan, right? But a lot of black folk didn't recognize what Du Bois was doing. He didn't recognize that, and he was sent by white folk to distract the plan. And that's how you can tell. We have to understand, and I call those sleepers. I call people that come in to distract the plan or to distract black folk or take us into a different direction, a non-black direction. Those are sleeper cells. I call them sleeper cells. And a lot of people, you have to understand who and what they look like. Sleeper cells, like I said, they look like us, but they don't sound like us. They don't have a heart for us. And then Du Bois, Marcus Garvey was trying to take us back to Africa, and Du Bois came in, and he started taking us into another direction, okay, which is totally opposite. And that's what a lot of sleeper cells do. They will distract NFA. Okay, for instance, in the NFAC, he was one that was trying to and still trying to, strange fruits, how are you? Yes, oh my God. Man, welcome. But we have to understand, just like in FAC, he was here and he was trying, and he still is trying to free black people, okay? He, just like Ice Cube had a plan for black, a contract for black America, right? They had an agenda. They had a black, you know, they was, NFAC was trying to do the defense. Ice Cube had an agenda for black people, a contract. Now, those are B1 people, okay? Yes, some people can change. I do believe that some people can change. They may start out as everybody, but eventually, if they start talking a black agenda, then they switch their agenda to blackness, okay? But that's what we have to hear. We have to hear them say, I have a black agenda. I don't want to assume that you have a black agenda when you have a minority agenda, because we're not minorities. We are black people. Okay, so I want to hear when you say we have a black agenda. I want to hear you say this is the black agenda. It's not the Mexican agenda. It's not the everybody or the minority or the color. It's the black folks' agenda. So that's what we have to start hearing. Just because somebody is coming up, you know, trying to help, and a lot of white people send sleepers to us. Du Bois was a sleeper. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, I do believe, was a sleeper. He was a boule, and that's what they're called. Steve Harvey, you know, they're boules. They are sleepers. Roland Martin is a sleeper. He's a boule. And you have to understand, their position is to lead and direct black folk into a different direction that's not necessarily a B1 direction. Okay? You have to understand, a lot of black folk that got with Biden is not B1. They don't have a black agenda. They don't have a heart for after black people. Clyburn, who's the senator for South Carolina, he is definitely a sleeper. He is definitely not B1. He, you know, you think he is, but listen to him talk, and he is more for white America than he is for black people. And you have a lot of the black caucus that are not for black people that are called sleepers, and they were put in place to distract. They were put in place. They were paid by white folks, okay, to look good, to look like you're doing something for black people, but never get around to it. It's called what? What's that called? Now, that's called benign neglect. We have the COINTELPRO that they also use. Okay, that's another program that they'll stick a little sleeper in the midst of a black, like the Black Panthers. They had a security guard. What's his name? William O'Neill. He was called an informant, and he worked with the FBI, and he was a member of the Black Panthers. Those are called sleepers.
Those are the people that they use in order to distract, to get information, to see how are we going to co-entail this operation. How are we going to block it? How are we going to curtail it into another direction? How are we going to connect it with the Black Lives Matter? Remember, at first, Black Lives Matter was just that, Black Lives Matter. But now it's been overtaken, and it's more or less the transgender and the LGBT Lives Matter. Okay, that's what the Black Lives Matter has erupted into. Okay, so that was, so you had creepers that was in the Black Lives Matter, which is what, three lesbian women now who's owned over it now. But what we do understand that what they were trying to do was infiltrate, and that's what they've done. They infiltrated the movement, and instead of it going right, it's actually going into another direction. So you have more white people into the Black Lives Matter that was doing a lot of the criminal activity than black people. And we were looking, and so you would hear some black folks say, don't break that window. They're going to blame us. I heard a lot of black people were saying that when they were marching with the Black Lives Matter. But a lot of white folks, it was infiltrated. That's what they do. They say, oh, we're all for the movement. Oh, we want to support. But what happens? What do they do, strange fruit? They come in the mix, and they snatch it and take it into another direction. And before we know it, we're thinking they got our back. And before we know it, it's going into LGBT, transgender. And you're looking like, well, what happened? I thought it was Black Lives Matter. Well, transgender lives matter and LGBT lives matter. And we're like, but black people are the main one that need it, and black people are the main one that's being hung on trees. And, and traffic and all this crazy sex traffic and all this stuff. But we don't understand. We're not recognizing how do we recognize a B1 person. We have to stop looking at people because on the outside and listen to what they're saying. Look who's surrounding them. If they're surrounded by a bunch of white folks, trust and believe me, they are not B1. Trust and believe me. I'm just saying, because you got a lot of people that's infiltrated right now of the black movement. Welcome, Jasmine, welcome. But they are still benefiting from the – yes, they are still benefiting, just like the Black Caucus. They, like I said, white folks pay them, okay? They bread their butter. They know who's in charge, but they are planted amongst black people, paid by white folks, because they cannot just come in and infiltrate themselves. So they have to use a sleeper agent. They have to use an agent or an informant to get that information back to them, and then they come together and see how are we going to take this into another direction, okay? Because I'm telling you, it's two type of black people, family. It's two type of black people. You got the MLK, okay, who Boulé, Steve Harvey, Jesse Jackson, okay, Al Sharpton. Those are your Roland Martin, who else? Joy Reid, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. Yes, you have to look. Black folk that have their own channel, you have to understand. And if white folk ain't coming against them, they're safe, okay? They wouldn't give me a channel. They wouldn't give me a channel because they know that I'm not safe. I'm going to be for black people, and they won't be able to come up and say, hey, let me offer you this amount of money, and this will be your new platform, or this will be your new whatever. It's not going to take us into a right direction. It's not going to take us in the direction of being free. It's going to be a trap. It's going to be to confuse us. It's going to take us into another direction, a direction we weren't even trying to go in the first place. Gatekeepers, yes. So we have to understand what's really going on here, and we have to start listening, and that's not what we're doing. We're just looking at – a lot of people looked at Obama and thought, oh, my God, he's black. He's black. We were excited. But listen to him talk. And when they was in Ferguson and Michael Brown got killed, he was calling black people that was ramped up against police because we was tired of the brutality. He was calling us thugs. So a bell should have went off in your head. Hello? Something's wrong with this dude. He's not, he does not have a heart for black people. But we never recognized that. We were still saying, oh, our first black president. Oh, my God, we got a first black president. Now a first male black president. Now we said, oh, we got a first black woman president. She's not black, you guys. So when she get in there and don't do nothing for black people, don't be surprised. I don't know why we expect these mixed. Now, you have to understand, you got a lot of mixed black folks that's not for black folks. A lot of times they come in and they are leaning more toward their white, a part of the family than they do the black part of the family. So don't nobody want to be black. Don't nobody want to be black right now. So we have to understand what's going on, okay? We have to start recognizing who has our back and who does not. But I don't believe that we're recognizing that. We're not. That's right. All skin folk ain't your kin folk. That's right. That's right. But we have to. But I think we were so excited because we thought, oh my God, Obama, he's black. He's gonna make a difference. He's married to a black woman. Boy, that joker fooled everybody, didn't he? And he's still fooling people because LeBron James was getting ready to boycott the best basketball, right? Probably before the election. And he went over there and slid his little snake behind over there. And, you know, LeBron, you know, you don't have to boycott. You can bring, you know, use this great facility that you got to bring them in to vote. Ain't that something? Bring them in to vote for what? Nothing. But it worked. And LeBron left a little strike, and he came on back to playing basketball, and he said, okay, you guys, we're going to use this facility to vote. Oh, Lord, he did it again. Boy, that Obama do every, I'm telling you, he did it again, y'all. He did it again, family. He did it again. He did it again. But I don't know what it's going to take for us to get it together. I don't know. But we're going to keep on trying. But I know we have to understand, the meaning of the word. And we have to understand when we hear, even though somebody may come to you, and you may think that they're black first. Because in the beginning, you won't know the difference, okay? You just have to keep listening. But if you get on their Facebook page or whatever, and because I know a lot of people, you know, want to join my page, and I go on their page and I look to see who they're surrounded by, and if you got a lot of white people, I just don't even know. You can't join my page because I know you're not going to understand. I know you're either trying to infiltrate or you're trying to take, you know, trying to get off focus, or I don't know what you're trying to do, but I already know that if you got a lot of white folk around your surroundings, you ain't trying to be one first. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be more aware and watch. When you see, just like in a face, you had a lot of black men that was going against him. You had a lot of black people going against him because it was something new. It wasn't something that we were used to seeing. We were glad to see it, but you have to understand, family, we are so damaged. We have been so traumatized by white folk that everything that we try to do with each other, for each other, we always question it because we were trained. Willie Lynch, we were trained to question everything. We were trained how to question and just be real questionable about each other. That was done on purpose because they wanted us to totally trust in them and them only. You have to understand. So they put a lot of doubt. They put a lot of confusion. They brought a lot of dislike to the black community. Families disliking each other. They played us against each other and gave, you know how, you know, food was probably scarce in those days. So, hey, I'll give you an extra pie if you tell your family member that's trying to escape, or I'll give you an extra apple or extra piece of bread or extra piece of bowl of chitlins or whatever if you tell us when somebody's getting ready to cause a riot. We have to understand. I'm trying to help us to recognize because we are not recognizing. I mean, when I saw this election, it was very concerning. It was very disheartening because I saw a lot of people, a lot of black folk that were saying, oh, my God, we got the first black woman president. And I keep going back to that because I want you to understand on her birth certificate is not black. It's not that she's black. Yes, her dad may be Jamaican or whatever, but she does not own that black side of her family. Her family, her grandma owned slaves, okay? So you already know they had a little money. I'm just saying. I just want to make sure that I'm not forgetting no parts because I have to write stuff down because I'd be like, you know, we got to understand mixing and mingling, those people, and I'm going to stress that enough. If you see a guy and he's got a white woman, he is not black first. A lot of them are swayed over to their woman side. And he's going, like Daniel Cameron, thinks more white. You know, he was on there with his little white woman, and he was just so, you know, sold out and looking so in love. And she looking at him like, oh, God, I got to put up with this Negro a few more years. I'm going to have a baby, and then I'm going to leave. You know what I'm saying? We just, you know, you can see through all of this. And he's just so happy he got a little snow bunny that looks like Mitch McConnell. Can you imagine a female Mitch McConnell? Because it's his granddaughter. So, to me, she's disgusting. I'm just saying. just to look at her is disgusting because I know her lineage. And just for him to be, it's just disgusting. I'm just sorry. I just can't. I'm sorry. I don't even want to. I don't know. I'm just like so disgusted by it because he's so sold out to them and not to his own, which is sad. But yeah, Jasmine, you say Obama couldn't fool you, but girl, I'm going to tell you what, he fooled a whole lot of, he fooled a lot of folks. Strange for what you say is the book to clean up the image. Yeah, truth is out there. Yeah, yeah, his book is to clean up his image because he knows with that election for Kamala and Biden, it, for black folk to really be supporting them, it should have been a landslide. I remember a time it would have been a landslide because she was a black female woman, right? But I think they're getting to the point where they're understanding that it wasn't a landslide, that they no longer have that control that they had over black people. And I do believe that's why the book is, even when he was coming out, because forever during the election, during the election process, he wouldn't even come out and talk. And they never even let Kamala come out and speak because they know we had already rejected her. So then they're going to bring her and Biden back. And then now going to present them to us on a little platter and say, okay, here, this is what I'm presenting to you. And I'm still rejecting both of them. I think she's just a female Biden. I think the mindset is the same. She's just as racist as he is. And I do believe that black people can be racist against their own. I do. Now, I'm not going to see prejudice against their own. That's what I'm going to say. Okay, I do believe that we can be prejudiced and we can hate ourselves so much, just like a lot of the black talkers. They don't try to help black people, and they know our children are dying by police. You just had two teenagers to die, and the police said the car was coming in his direction. And, in fact, the car made a right turn. He was on the left side of the street. So how in the hell was that car coming in your direction? Help me to understand that. And he killed those two young men, and he's going to probably get away with it. So my thing is we have to understand a lot of stuff has been going on in the black community, and what has been happening? Nothing. They've been, Black Caucus has not written a law to defund or dismantle. They've not written any laws to declare peculiar people. They've not written any laws to a hate crime. If you murder one of us, you automatically get life in prison or death. They've not changed anything that's in our favor. So, I look at black folk, and a lot of them are from Haiti. They're from Jamaica. They're from Bahamas. They're from other countries and not Americans. And a lot of them they don't understand the slave. They don't understand what the blackness, they don't understand what we go through every day. Yes, they're black, but they've cooned up so much with these white folks that it's okay not to do anything for black people because they've been brainwashed. And let me tell you, a whole lot of them that's coming over here is not the one because they vetted them. Don't believe that they're going to allow another Malcolm X to come in this country from another country. Don't think they're gonna allow Julius Malengo in Africa to come to America. Oh no, they're gonna vet him. None of his family members will be able to come because they're gonna assume that like father, like son. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah, you gotta be a real good slave. You gotta have that slave mentality. You gotta have that yes, master mentality in order to come here as being black. They're not gonna just let anybody come over here. That's absolutely not gonna happen. Okay, so we have to understand, and this is, I just want us to get to the place where we are recognizing, our own. We are recognizing what it means to be black first. What does that mean? We have to know what it means when we say, oh, yeah, I got you. Oh, yeah, just like I was listening to Stacey Abrams, and I think I mentioned on my last live, how she called into the Gucci, whatever him and Jay-Z, I probably got the names wrong. But you know, she wanted a favor from them, you know. And this is what the Democrats do. They want favors from us. They don't ever tell you what we're gonna do for you if you do this for me, because we never ask. We just say, okay, we got you. She wanted a favor from the black community, and she came on, knew a lot of black people was gonna be there, and she asked for our vote. But nobody said, hey, what are you going to give us if we give you our vote? What can we expect from you? The young man did ask, well, can you clean up my record? And what her answer was, oh, we'll talk about that later. Well, what, no time like the present, you called me. I didn't call you. So let me see before I say yes, that I'm going to hook you up. Now, black folk would have, now if she was B1, she said, brother, let me get your name. I'm going to hold on the phone. I'm going to get your name and I'm going to get some information. So, yeah, I got you. Just like he told her, oh, we got you. Georgia, we got you. We got you. But guess what? When he asked, she didn't say, I got you. She said, well, we're going to talk about that later. Well, why we got to talk about it later? I don't understand that. Just like Biden. We asked Biden, okay, what are you going to do for black folk? You know, ask Kamala, what are you going to do for black people? We give you our vote. What are you going to do for us? She said, well, let's get it. Let me help you to understand something. She said, let's not get it twisted. I'm not doing anything just for black people, but what we are going to do, the black folk will be included. We'll include them. But you ain't say that for the Jews. You gave them that separate little whatever. You didn't say that for the immigrants. You gave them their separate little whatever that their request was. You didn't say that for the Arabs and the Palestinians that come over here and the Chinese. And you don't say that then. You gave them a hotline. Remember, they gave the Chinese, when COVID came, a hotline to report any racial bias or racism, didn't it? Well, we've been facing that for 400 years. Where's our website? Where's our phone number? And then they came back and corrected and said, oh, everybody, you know, if you are facing any racism, go ahead and call that number, which then they wanted to include everybody. But we've been facing racism since forever, and we never, ever, I don't recall anybody, saying, hey, this is a hotline just for black people. So when white folk call you and they call the police on you, you can call and report them. I haven't seen that hotline yet. But I see Karen Bass, one of the black caucus, she's always on the Twitter saying, you know, making statements, well, you know, this is so-and-so day. We just got this law passed, and we got this law passed. And I'll be saying, you know, I'm always tweeting, and I'll be, well, when you going to get something passed for black people? That's what I need to know. When you going to pass something for your own? When you going to pass something besides an immigration bill or something that for somebody else that's not going to benefit us, okay? That's my question to her. You know, anytime I see Sheila Jackson, you know, texting or tweeting on Twitter, and you know, well, we just got this bill. Okay, my thing to you, all of the Black Caucus members, when can we expect some kind of bill for police brutality? Okay, prison reform? How are we going to close the wealth gap? When we going to get reparations? When we going to write that check? When we going to defund or dismantle the police? Let's talk about those issues first before you ask for our vote. Let's talk about those issues before you ask us for anything. But we didn't do that. They asked for your vote. She called up and the guy said, yeah, we got you. But when she asked, she had done, that's your governor's, that's your governor. Your governor has to do that. But she said, well, let me take your name down and let me contact the governor for you and we'll make that happen. But no, she didn't say that because he said, oh, we got you. And went on about her business, hung up, and she was just as happy go lucky. You know, didn't even think about, you know, what, didn't even think about anything besides, well, I did what I need to do. I call my helpers. I call my faithful foe, and of course they're going to come through for me. We don't even have to offer them. We don't have to give them anything. They're going to come through for nothing. Lord, that's old faithful black folk. That's them old faithful slaves. We don't have to do nothing for them. They're going to come through regardless. Ain't that something? When are we going to stop, family? When are we going to stop? We wonder why they treat us the way they treat us. But we allow them to use us with no problems. Don't you get tired of being used? I get tired of being used. Yes, I seen that. But you know what? You had a whole group of black white folks in them masks across the country. And nobody ever gets beat up for not wearing a mask. He got assaulted for not wearing a mask. But tell me why. How many white folks? You had a whole slew of them at the court building with guns. Did you see that? Remember? In Michigan. They had a whole boatload of white folks with guns in the court building. Which you're not even supposed to bring weapons to court, right? But they had rifles. They had AR-15s, rifles, shotguns in the court building. And they were trying to take over the court building. They even threatened to kidnap one of the governors, right, of Michigan. And they got caught, of course. But these people were in a court building with no mask, with guns. If they had been black, what do you think would have happened? Oh, they'd have called the FBI, they'd have called CIA, they'd have called the Army, the Navy, the Marines. They'd have called the Russia troops in, they'd have called Chinese troops. they'd have called in the fort. They would have called in everybody they could to shut them black folks down, wouldn't it? But those white folks was right there on the steps talking about, we ain't wearing no mask. And they had rifles in the court building, and nobody was threatened. But you got black folks unarmed with a pen in hand, and I'm threatened. I'm threatened. She got a pen in her hand, or I got a cell phone in my hand, but I'm threatened. But these white folks had shotguns, AR-15 rifles, and nobody was threatened. Tell me why. Not a one police officer in that court building felt their lives was in jeopardy. Oh, he did put the mask on. And they still attacked him. So it wasn't about the mask, was it? Okay. Wasn't about the mask. What was it about? It was just about him being black. Period. Yeah, their rules are different from ours. They can break them, but we must follow the rules. Yes, that's absolutely. This is why they caught Kyle Ryan. What's that boy's name? Kyle Rittenhouse. That's why he out. He murdered two people. Two rioters. And what happened? He out on $2 million bail. They took up money for that boy and got that boy off. That man, I should say, that grown darn man. They got him off. He's loose now. They probably going to have trial later. But I've never seen a black young man that killed two people to actually come out on bail. They gave Kyle Rittenhouse bail, okay, $2 million, and he's out now. Yeah, their rules are different than ours. But we can't do anything. It's almost like a child. You got a real child and a stepchild, and that stepchild can't do nothing. That stepchild can't even look. But you have to understand, family, it is time for us to change our identity, time for us to claim our nationality, and we are going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to talk about that, but I need us to understand that it's time for us to claim a nationality. Black is not a nationality. It's time for us to do that. Right now, we are considered, what, their property. So, yes, they can make their property take a COVID shot, a vaccine. They can make us do that, but you have to understand, once we declare a nationality, we're no longer their property. So I think things will change. And strange truth, I think this is what you were talking about, but those guys were talking about that one time before that we didn't know, because we don't know anything about, you know, our heritage, nationality. We don't know anything about that. But, you know, I'm trying to do a little research on it now. But we have to start recognizing, just like MLK, Martin Luther King didn't know who his friends were. He was surrounded by Andrew Young, Jesse Jackson, and Al Sharpton. When he surrounded by traitors, they were all Boule, and they were traitors, and he failed to realize who his friends were. So this is why it's so important for black people to start recognizing who their friends are, okay? Because John Lewis, you know, he was proud about getting his little head bashed in, okay? But he wasn't black. He was black, but he wasn't black. He was one of them, okay? He was one of those sleepers that they gave this dude. And you have to understand, anybody, a black that's in a high position, that means white folk, they put them there. And they're not going to back black folk because they know who's paying their bills. Okay, you have to understand that. And I think a lot of stuff, they shouldn't be able to get a lot of endorsements from, like, the police union, because we already know if the police union is backing anybody black. Like Carmela Harris, she was their favorite, okay? I was watching a movie called Police Lines, I think it was the name of it, and it kind of upset me a little bit because you got a black cop who shot a white boy. This is TV, and I'm telling you, it showed the corruption, and I do believe that it's like that in real life, but, you know, it just bothered me because this black dude was trying to fit in with all these white folk, right? And then when he needed them the most, it was his own that was setting him up, his own was planting stuff, you know, and, you know, making him look guilty. When I say his own, I mean the police officers, okay? I don't mean his own black. It was his own officers who he thought he fit in with. He called them friends, and we have to understand we're not going to call white folks friends. Those are not B1. They don't have a heart after black people. And even on this movie, I've seen where the boy's mom and another black lady, her son was killed by police officers also. But her son, they made a big deal. You know, they made a big deal out the white boy, you know, white boy. And then the young lady whose son was black, they just totally forgot about him. But then they came together and they was trying to say it's for, you know, we're going to have a service for everybody. It's, you know, we have to get to the place where it is about us. It's okay to be about us. It's okay to be about black people. It's okay to want to do for your own. It's okay to buy black. It's okay to think black. It's okay to talk black. And one lady, I was watching a live, and one person came up there, and she said, what does it mean to talk black, you know, be one? And she and I was like, what do you mean? If you have to ask that question, then, yeah, you're not black if you got to ask that question. I'm just saying, nobody, if I'm not, or I have another agenda, or if I'm not black or I'm white, then I'm not going to know what it is to what B1 means, or how can I express being B1, or how do I walk into that B1 title. I'm not going to understand it. But if I'm black, I should understand what it means when I say B1 or to have a black agenda. That means only a black agenda. That means I am here for only black people. Not that I don't like anybody else, but I am here for my blackness, my black people, and I'm here to help them, to free them, to help them to think black, be black, blackly, black. I want them to think black, be black, speak black, think black. It is time for us to understand. It's time for us to move back and stop giving people passes and come from among, be separate, okay, and learn not the ways. This is word. That he told us that. And the reason things are going the way they are is because we have chosen not to. We've chosen to stay up under our enemies. We've chosen to continue being friends with enemies. And we cannot call enemies friends. Okay? So I'm trying to help us to start recognizing the intruders. Okay, they're coming to the black community. And just like I remember a story with Jeffrey Dahmer, he's a white guy. And he was trying to come in and live amongst black folk, okay? He was a sleeper. He shouldn't have been a sleeper, but he was an agent. He was a sleeper right in the amongst the black folk. But what he was doing, he was eating people. He was killing folk, bringing them right into the black neighborhood, living in an apartment. And they said sometimes you walk past his apartment, it would stink so bad, but black folk gave him a pass. Why would you give him a pass? But I guarantee you, if that had been my apartment and my apartment was smelling like that, they'd be, oh, my God, they would have had a whole lot to say. But I'm just saying, we give a pass to white folk. We give a pass to them because I don't want to see, I don't want nobody to think I'm racist. I don't want nobody to think I'm prejudiced. I don't want nobody to think I don't like black. You know, we come up with all of these excuses while it's okay for us not to be B1. We come up with all these excuses in the world. Well, I don't want nobody to think blah, blah, blah. I don't want nobody to think blah, blah, blah. Let people think what they want to think. Because guess what? When it comes to white folks, they cover themselves. They cover each other. I'm going to tell you what. They all cold automatically. I could be at work, and I'll get married with one of them white girls at work, and they all come together. It's like they all come around. You know what I'm saying? And she has a habit of trying to wreak havoc, and you know she'll throw a rock. This is they good at this, throwing a rock. She'll look into the side and look at you and be like, "What a rock? What happened?" That's how I look at Biden. I see behind this a person, a man that's gonna throw a rock, and when that rock goes, then he, you know, had his hand. He looking like, "Who threw that rock? What happened? What's going on?" You know, that's how I see him. But we have to understand we have a lot of white folks that come around us. And they'll tell you, oh, I got a black daughter-in-law, or I got a black child, or I got a black something. I'm still not trusting you. I don't care what black you got. I don't care who you got black around you. I don't care. I'm still not trusting you because I know you. I'd have been around you long enough to know you're not trustworthy. I'm just saying. So my question again was what? B1, how to recognize. Okay, because we're giving a whole lot of passes. Time for us to recognize who is for us and who is not. And we're not recognized. We've got to get to the place where we're seeing through the mask. Because, you know, wolves in sheep clothing, you can recognize them. You got to recognize them. And if you can't, I don't know why you can't recognize them. I don't know what's the problem. You know, I don't understand. But we, you know, you have to be able, you can feel a person's spirit if they're for you or not. You can hear their words and know if they're for you or not. I'm just saying. But sometimes we can discern that, but we'll release it and we'll be like, oh, I must be just tripping. Oh, that's just me. That's me. I'm doing da, da, da. No. No, you're not just tripping. We have to start recognizing what's what. That's true. But I didn't want to be on here long. I said I was going to do a really super quick show to help us to recognize, because I really don't believe that we're recognizing B1. I really don't believe that we're recognizing who has our back. And because they look like us and they look black, or they sound a little black, that we kind of, you know, kind of look over some things. And they, you know, when I see a lot of black guys and they sound white, they talk white, or they hang around a lot of white folks, when real, especially if they talk white, then I pretty much know that they're not black first. They're not into dating black women, okay? And we have to start listening for that. We have to start deciphering spirits, deciphering what we're hearing and what we're seeing, and be true to ourselves and true to what we're seeing, because we'll see it and just be like, you know, shrug it off like, oh, it's just me. It's just because I believe that our spirits give us, you know, edge up on what's what. I believe our spirit, we can tell what's what. All we have to do is just be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself and feel what you're feeling. You got to feel it, okay? You're not going to miss it. You can't miss it. So if your spirit is telling you that it's something weird about her, then it's probably something weird about her. You just may not know it yet, but it's something weird about that person, okay? Let me see. And I do believe that we have to begin to separate ourselves a little bit at a time, and I talked a little bit about it yesterday. If you saw my live, Nova Tuesday, you saw my live on Tuesday or Wednesday, Tuesday I think it was. I talked a little bit about, you know, separating and how we could do it, and getting our community store and our medical clinics. I believe that this COVID was, you know, we should have been ready, or we should be getting ready for the next wave. We should have had our little clinics set aside, because I do believe that we need our own clinics. We need our own everything. We need our own schools. And even in that movie I was watching last night, they had their school in the black area. And I think they do this a lot, where they close our schools down so that they can bus our kids, so that they can finish indoctrinating our children. Because once we allow them to educate our children, their mind is just warped. Their mind is just out there. They just don't even know that they're being used, and they just sound so much like white folk that, you know, I work with a guy, and he's from Africa, and he puts his stuff down all the time because that's what they're taught in Africa, you know, about they think very bad of black people. You know, so I just think about, you know, how do you break that? And the only thing I can come up with is, you know, I'm constantly talking to them, but I think it's a mindset from birth. I think it's a mindset from childhood. I think it's a mindset as far as when you start teaching, you have to have somebody that's teaching our own how to love them. You have to have somebody that's teaching them the code of behavior and character, you know, and kind of molding their little character. But a lot of times we don't know how to do that. You know, we have to start recognizing. Okay. I'm trying to see. I don't want to miss no point. I hope you guys are liking and sharing the video, you guys. Like and share. And also about the sleepers, we have to understand, if they're not taking us toward being free and doing for self, and if they continuously telling us to vote, continue telling us to trust white supremacy, continue telling us to, or encouraging us to stay in their system, don't worry about getting your own business. Don't worry about going to, you know, you can go to college, you can, you know, get into debt. I'm telling you what, you can have your own business and make your own money. You don't have to rely on white supremacy. And it is time for us to get to the place where we are not relying on them. We are worth $1.2 trillion. When are we going to think enough of us to want to do for us? When are we going to think that, man, I need to start doing this over here? I need to start, you know, putting a little bit of money aside and partner up with somebody and say, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. Why don't we put $50, you know, every 2 weeks, or let's put $50 a month away? for the next year and see how much money we have, or maybe it could be for the next 2 years and see how much we got, and then we come together and get a small building. And I do believe that we could have had our own by now, our own clinic, our own dental clinics, our own everything. We have to start a little bit at a time, but we have to start somewhere. But we're not even willing to start. We talk. I mean, as soon as you come up with a plan, you'll hear somebody say, oh, well, you know, they tried that back in 1920 and it didn't work. Or they tried that year 1963 and this happened and that happened. And we make excuses why it's okay for us not to move forward to help self. We make excuses as far as our own reality. It's time for us to make our own reality. But we make excuses and come up with all kind of reasons why it's not going to work. And I'm like, do you want to be free? For instance, we were looking at, and the little young man came on there and he was talking about the little car and he was saying, you know, stuff about the car. And the first thing he came, said, he said, he opened the door and he looked at the seats and he was, you know, touching the seats and he goes, oh my God, these seats aren't made for it. They're not comfortable. And everything he was saying about the car was negative, but he was supposed to be selling the car. And I looked at my husband, he looked at me and I'm like, it was just totally. But we have to understand, sometimes we have people in our group that don't sound like us. That dude was, the man hired him to sell a Cadillac or sell whatever car that was. But the guy was not trying to, so he had infiltrated, right? So obviously a Cadillac or whatever the car was wasn't something that he liked, because every point that he was pointing out about the car was negative. And that's who we get when people have co-opted or they've come into the mix of us, but they have another agenda. I'm trying to help us to recognize who our friends are, family. Let me see what we got. Mischaracterizing tones and enunciation of words as an automatic traitor. Yes, that's true. Observation an entire scope. This is why it's important to see who that person is hanging around. You have to understand that. If that person, okay, and I'm going to tell you what, sometimes now, I know what you're saying too, but I've met a lot of people, strange fruit, a lot of men that are, you know, speak a little, you know, but when black men, help me out if this is true or not, when I see black men trying to talk proper, that means they're trying to get some white people. I'm just saying. They are trying to infiltrate the white culture. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying. It may or may not be true. But from my understanding, when I meet most, now that's more true, I think, for black women maybe. They're doing it for employment purposes or business purposes. But when I meet black men that's talking like that, you better believe that they have white friends. They've been endowed. They've been been tainted, and they're dating white women, and their whole scope is white. I'm just saying. Very seldom do I meet a black man that's talking proper, that's not trying to talk to a white woman, or don't have a white woman, or don't have a white girlfriend. I'm just saying. Am I wrong, you guys? Help me out. I could be wrong, but I'm just saying. But from what I have saw, okay, I know a lot of women will go more proper because it's either, financially, business-wise, or it'll be they're running their own business or school purposes or something. That might be something. Okay, that could be, but I think it's more for women. What do you think about that? I think it's more just all your family members, and we can also, I think mostly it's who they circle themselves with, because be one person is not going. If you talking like me, it's not gonna be a whole lot of white folks to hang out with me. I'm just saying. But do they talk proper? Does your brothers talk? You know, do they sound black or do they sound more? Because you said your brothers are guilty of sleeping with white women. Okay, but do they talk proper or do they, sound black? You don't have some black men sound black. Do they sound black or are they trying to perpetrate, But we also have to understand, how we, I do understand what you're saying too, Strange Fruit. It could be how you grew up too. If you spent more time, if your mom is white, or maybe you grew up in a mixed family, and maybe your mom is white, then you pretty much take on her characteristics. But I still believe that if you are trying to persuade that white side of her family, you're going to talk more proper. And you know, so I guess it could go both ways. So I'm not going to condemn that. But I do believe that if I watch who you're hanging with, I'm going to know if you're black first or not. Because a lot of white folk are not going to hang around people that talk, you know, talk about race a lot, or they talk about blackness, or they talk about color, they talk about culture, they talk about heritage. A lot of white people are not going to hang around that, and I do know that for a fact. I do know that. But I didn't want to be on here a long time. I just want to help us to recognize and start realizing and helping us to understand that there are spaces and passes. We're allowing the wrong type of people in our space, and we are allowing the wrong type of people to infiltrate. And instead of us really being more aware, we're just assuming that they're fourth, and we're assuming that they're black, and then we're assuming that they have a black agenda. If a person does not tell you that they have a black agenda, let's stop assuming that they do. Okay, just like Mike, we assumed that he's got a black agenda, but he never told us that he had a black agenda. And I don't know why we would think that white supremacy is going to have a black agenda. I don't believe, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it different, but I don't, you know, white supremacy is not going to have, they're not going to help us to be free. Why would I help my enemies, or why would I help somebody that's under me to get over me? You know, why would I help you to be free? That don't sound right. You know, it's just like in a fight. Why would I show you how to fight if I want to beat you up? You understand what I'm saying? Or if I'm bullying you, why would I teach you how to fight me? Why would I show you how to be free of me bullying you? You know what I'm saying? That's just my opinion. But a lot of times we are just so busy trying to fit in that we're getting confused. Or a lot of times we want to hear something so bad, and we want to think, welcome, Levi, welcome. We want to think that people are for us because we've been on the outside for so long, and we want to fit in where we can. And we just will assume that somebody is black first, but not even hearing it out of their mouth that they are. You don't even hear them say black, but we just assume that they're going to do something for black people because you hear them say, well, I'm going to help all Americans. When I hear that, I know you're not talking about black Americans. Or if I hear some people say, oh, all lives matter, that means what? That's not necessarily meaning that black lives matter. That's just meaning to me that they want to emphasize that all lives, not just black lives, you know, that's what I'm concerned about, or they're not thinking about black lives. That's what most white people that's really trying to be on that racial fence, you'll hear them saying that. Well, all lives matter, because I've heard Hillary Clinton say that all lives matter, and I've heard different, you know, evangelicals say all lives matter, and I'm looking at them saying, but all lives are not dying, you know. So we have to begin to recognize who our friends are, and who's going to have our black back, and who is going to cover us and keep us headed in the right direction. So we have to understand that even when someone comes new into our circle, we look at them and we say, who sent them? Let me hear them talk. Let me see what's going on with them first. Let me be quiet. Let me sit on the side so I can see which direction. But if I see that even if they look black enough, you know, in the beginning it might look that like they're taking us into the right direction, but you look and that thing will switch up, just like Tone Talk. And you bet Carnell, for real, when I first saw they was doing ADOS, ADOS, and then they kind of started going toward the left, and they was talking about voting and talking about baby bonds and talking about this. I'm like, baby bonds, voting, what in the world? What happened to ADOS and reparations? And the closer we got to the election, the more they start talking about voting. And I'm like, well, dang, when did it switch up? You know, so that's what I mean. We have to get to the place where we are seeing, welcome, Pepsia, welcome. Let me see the first thing that many black males do in their defense to black females is accuse them of interracial relationships. Some black families are not attracted to white men. Yep, females are not. If I were a black male. But you have to understand, now, I mean, I just see what pressure. I see her on there with a little funny looking white dude. When she first started dating him, he looked like a little geek. He looked like something was wrong with him. I mean, I thought, seriously, I was like, wow, he looks weird. I mean, he looks like a really goofy, really, you know, one of them bookworms. You know, that's what he looks like. And I see it. I don't know anybody. Did anybody see Precious, her, you know, she's engaged to this white guy, right? But I'm like, but I understand because a lot of black guys, now they'll date white women that look like Precious, white women, but won't date a black woman that looks like Precious. Tell me why. I don't understand that. I don't get it, okay? Yes, but Cynthia, you have a lot of black women that don't think like that. They're like desperate. I mean, they see the black men going to the white women, and a lot of, now understand, when you start dating white, you pretty much gonna go into that side of the family. I've seen a lot of black men dating white women, and they don't have nothing to do with black women. They don't have nothing to do with black nothing. They all in the white. If they can be, if they can be known as a brother, or known as a cousin, known, you know, as somebody in their family, they don't want to be black. They don't even want to, you know, have nothing to do with black women. And I think that's the shame of it, because our men will date a fat white woman and won't date a fat black woman who is single. Precious has money. She's single. She's, you know, funny. She's, you know, got a job. And they'll go with an unemployed white woman with five children. Okay, five children, and she 450 pounds. I've seen that. And I'm looking like, what in the world is going on with that? And I think it's very cute. I wish I could find the picture with Precious and her the guy she's dating. I wish I could find the picture. And I thought, wow, I think I'm going to try to find it on here. And I thought, wow, she's got the ring, and I put a ring on it. And, you know, it was kind of cute. And I was like, wow, even Precious found somebody. But it's just a shame that she had to go to somebody white and she couldn't, you know, stay with her own. But I guess she said, let me see, I'm going to look her up. Precious. I don't know what her name is on here. I don't know her name on here. She's not coming up. It's just a shame. And I see how these black men are dating women, and they are like, woo! I mean, they are like huge, you know, these white women, and they're fine with it. They don't have a problem with it. But I think it's disgusting for you to choose a Neanderthal over your own. I do believe that that's disgusting. I think it's sickening and it's sad for us to do that. You will date these, you know, and then she got five children and, you know, take care. You know she's taking care of him because he looks like he just ain't got nothing going for himself. But, you know, he's with her. And I don't know. I think we have been so traumatized that I think it's very sad when I see what is really going on in the black community. But until we get to the place where we are you know, healing and allowed to heal, I think we're gonna face this a lot because we're not allowing ourselves to heal. We're not even trying to heal. We are just trying to get along with white folks, you know. So let me see what y'all saying. Gabrielle Union? Yes, they do. These white women do. They do. They hate black women. Yes, they do. Yes, I had a friend. Well, I can't call her a friend, but this was early in my church days. We had a Puerto Rican lady. She's Spanish, Puerto Rican. But when I first got there, she did not like me. And we were in church, right? So I was like, why is she here? I guess she was looking for some black men, right? But she did not like black women. Even today, you know, she will talk, but she still, you know, is very kind of distant. But the black men, she love our black men. But black women, she don't care for them too much. And I'm like, yeah, people don't like our men, but not like, I don't understand that, but whatever. Let me see. Same thing with Serena. Yes, Serena. Doctor. Yes. A little support. And what was she supposed to do? Exactly. That's what I don't understand. Like Serena. Yeah, Serena. And her sister, right? I know Serena had a white guy, you know, had a baby by him. But my thing is, she had money. And you mean tell me she couldn't find a black guy, a black man? What's going on? I mean, our black men, you know, I see and I look, and first thing they do is run to a white woman. I'm like, why? I don't understand that thinking. You have money. We didn't stay with you while you were broke and just destitute, and now you've got a little money. You know, this is our time to shine, or this is our time, to chill, and you run off and get you a white woman. What? I look at Michael Jordan. I look at how long he was married to the black woman, and then how he was messing around with her and did da-da-da, and now he didn't marry, he didn't marry a white woman. I'm like, what in the world? You done went, what? You know? Dang, I don't know. I guess he said, well, these white women let us do anything, so we're going to stick with our white women. But my thing is black men. If you find a 450-pound white woman, go find you a 450-pound black woman. Why is it okay for you to date or sleep with a 450-pound white woman but not a black woman? I don't understand that. I don't think I ever understand that. Okay. Oh, Philip, welcome, 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 you guys. Y'all like and share. Don't forget to like and share the video, you guys. Strange Drew, you were just saying, so disappointing to see Serena with that woman that admitted he didn't know how to use a watch call before. You know what? We just accept anything. This is the sad part about it. This is how wounded. And it's not even funny because it's so sad. It really is. It really is, because we just have been so wounded and we've been so traumatized. And I do believe that we are suffering with Stockholm Syndrome. You're not going to tell me we're not. The way we look up to these white folk and the way and this election just sickened me. I'm sorry. This election, every time I see Jim Crow Joe, I get sick to my stomach. I almost want to throw up. I'm serious. I can't. I will. That man wouldn't get no vote. He would hear more Kamala. They need a one. But you have to understand, this is a lot of black folk still living in that Jim Lewis, Martin Luther King era. And these are older people that have passed down that generational yuckiness to their children. And I'm seeing, more young people, yes, but more voting Republican. But my thing is, why can't we, get our own political party? Is that possible? Do you think that's even possible for us to get our own political party? Could we actually win with our own political party? Or do you believe that we have to stick with the Democrats or the Republicans? Why can't they come in with an independent? Or why can't they come with two presidents, one for black folk and one for white folk? That's my dream, that we have two presidents, one for black and one for white. And the black one, who's black first, that we've trained, we've given him a list of our demands, and we put him in office, and he works, these two presidents work together, and they coming up with their stuff, and we coming out with our stuff, and, separate but equal. I do believe in that. Separate but equal. I believe in that wholeheartedly. And I think that's how it always should have been. And I do believe, even in Africa, I believe that if they kick the Chinese out and they kick the Arabs out and they kick the Indians and, all the everybody that's not blackly black in Africa needs to go. And then we need to start educating, from the ground up. Even the adults need to start going to some black classes, in the universities. You change over the education system. You start teaching blackness. You start teaching having some black classes and just retraining it, okay? I think that's what it's going to take. It's going to take us coming from among, being separate, and learning out their ways and learning our ways and us being free. I do believe that. But we still trying to, send our children to these white schools. Even though we had COVID, even though, this should have been a reset for black people, we should have been able to find online black schools for our children. But a lot of us waited until everything calmed down and went right back and jumped right back into that same boat. I don't understand that. I think this was a reset. When the country closed down, I believe that it was a reset for black people, but we didn't take advantage of it. And I still don't think we've taken advantage of it. Because a lot of us still didn't get our waters, and we still have not gotten our emergency food. But I heard the other day that they are going to give the vaccine out, and they are going to give it to black folks as far as Section 8 people, my EBT people, and people that are, of course, nursing home people. But, yeah, Section 8 and EBT, if you are collecting that, you are going to be on that list. You will not be able to get Section 8 anymore. But I knew that. I knew that was one way of them getting black people. But so I'm telling you now, if you have, you're on Section 8, you need to, or if you're on EBT, it's time to kind of look around and see if you can get your own, get your online business. All you have to do is sell one thing, and sometimes that one thing can make you a lot of, a nice piece of change. You can sell stuff on eBay. I'm just saying, these are ways that you can kind of wean yourself off, get your own business, wean yourself off, and work for self. Because if not, you are either going to be homeless or you're going to take that vaccine, black folks. And they, you know, they've been trying to depopulate, but I'm going to tell you what, they get that shot to black people. More black people are going to get a COVID, and we're going to die from it. And then they're going to say, see, then they're going to blame something else. So I'm just saying, I don't believe that a whole lot of, you know, I've seen COVID, and, you know, but I you mean nobody died of heart attack, nobody died of high blood pressure. Everybody had COVID. Nobody died from anything else but COVID. You know, nobody had, they didn't die from heart attack, high blood pressure, cancer. You know, nobody died from anything else but COVID. That's just hard to believe for me. But I'm just saying. Let me see what else y'all saying. What y'all saying in the chat? See. Yes. We have to get to the place where we are wanting to heal you guys. It's time for us to see things a little different, and it's time for us to start doing for us to start. Time for us to, and I did a show yesterday. I don't know what's that show called yesterday. Lord, help me, y'all. Help me out, y'all. Because I'm doing one on next Thursday, and we're going to talk a little bit about the immigration. Immigrants is replacing black folks. Have y'all noticed that the immigrants are replacing us? We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about that next week. Okay? I was trying to see. I did a show yesterday. I can't remember what it is. Ain't that something? I be doing so many shows. What has cost black folk for not doing for self? I think that's what I did last. No, that was one I did last week. Why black folk have chosen to die. I did that show, and we talked a little bit about, you know, the subject we're talking about today. We just touched on it, but we're going to talk about the immigrants, how they're replacing black people. And like I tell people, I'm told people, Biden's bringing 11 million immigrants in, and I hope you have your own business. I hope, because if you don't have your own business, black family, you are going to be hungry because they are replacing black folk. They're trying to replace your vote because a lot of us didn't vote for them. And they thought we was going to let that tangible thing go. So they didn't bother to try to replace us, but they are trying now. But hopefully they'll have the wrong kind of white, you know, the wrong kind of immigrants, because a lot of immigrants vote Republican, right? So hopefully they'll have the Republicans, you know, the Republican immigrants, you know, because they all classify as white anyway, you know. So, okay, I was trying to see what you guys were talking about in the comments. But I think we have to, heal. It's time for us to heal because it's getting worse. It's almost like we're writing ourselves out by dating our enemies, but we don't care. Because if something happens, if it's not happening to black people, if it's not happening to me, I tend to not care. If it's not happening to you, you tend to not care. That's just what it is. But I'm going to tell you, white folk on cold. If you mess with one, you mess with all of them. They will come around, like, you know what I'm saying? But we, if you mess with one, it's not like you mess with the other. If you, you know, if you offend or if you affect my sister, you know, and I remember even growing up, you know, we had to, you know, when you had a sister, you had to fight for her, right? That's what we were supposed to do. So what happened to that code of behavior? When we came in and put us in slavery, the code of behavior was beat at you, okay? You couldn't have no code of behavior. You watch out for yourself because you didn't want that in them lashes, okay, them 120 lashes or whatever it was. So you say to yourself, okay, I don't know nothing about that. I ain't got nothing to do with that. And that's how we are today. I'm telling you, that was back in slavery. I ain't got nothing to do with that. She going, you know, I'm not getting no whooping because she getting one. I ain't stealing no eggs. I ain't stealing no eggs. I ain't got nothing to do with her. But you know what I'm saying? But that's done more harm than good in the black community. That's done more harm than good. Because we're like that even till today. You know, we'll see somebody's son and we'll see them, you know, stopped and pulled over by the police, but we won't pull over and get our phones out, or we won't get out and say anything, or we won't get out and make sure they're okay, because guess what? I ain't getting involved. I ain't getting girl. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm going to stay over here. And we can see me in our house and looking out and seeing our neighbor going through something, and you'll sit there and say, well, I ain't got nothing to do with it. That's just they stuff. And but what happens if it comes to visit you at your door? Okay, let's stop it before, and this is talking about anything dealing with white folk, let's stop it before it becomes our problem. Okay, because a lot of stuff we are allowing to happen in our communities, and it shouldn't be. Like, for instance, we had that trafficking house in that black community, and everybody knew the house. Everybody knew that house was trafficking kids, but until it was one certain family's kids, they were allowed to live there. Now, you tell me why. If you know that there's a trafficking house that's trafficking kids, and you have small children, why wouldn't you burn that house down? Why didn't you handle that before it became a problem? That's what I don't understand. But a lot of time we won't. We'll sit right there and won't say or do anything. So, well, it didn't affect us, so, you know, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm going to stick to myself. I'm just my business. But that is your business. We are our family. We are our brother's keeper. So if it's going to affect you, it affects me. So I like to handle things before it becomes an issue. I want to handle trafficking before, you know what I'm saying? You want to handle the sex trafficking before. You want to handle the police brutality before. You want to handle it before it becomes a problem and it hits knocks on your door. You know what I'm saying? So let's handle these problems that we see before they knock on your door. Because once they knock on your door, then you want everybody to care about your family. You want everybody to care about your child. You want everybody to care about your situation, but you didn't care about nobody else's. So I believe that we should be handling things, situations before they actually happen. But you guys, I just kind of wanted to touch on the B1 topic. I know I kind of drifted off a little bit, but I kind of add a little other stuff in there also. But the main topic was how to recognize B1, and I hope you learned something from it. I hope now other folk are talking, and I think a lot of us recognize, but it's still a lot, because when I look at the election, I see it wasn't a landslide for Biden or Kamala, but it was still sickening because people still voted for them, voted for the Democrat, and people were so faithful, and they was like, oh, my God, you know, they were so happy about the Democratic Party, which was sickening because why was we so happy when this party has done nothing but hurt black people? That's what I don't understand. It should have been, you know, I'm not saying I wanted Trump to win either. That's, you know, but I don't know. It's just, I just could not bring myself to vote for Biden, to give that man a vote when he had devastated. And you know, I was talking to a guy, and he said, oh, you brainwashed. I'm like, how am I brainwashed? I'm like, no, I think you're brainwashed, because a lot of people, a lot of black folks think they're woke and they're not. You okay? If you can say you're woke, but you're still, you know, thinking about the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, you're not woke. And that's what I tell people. 90% of black people are still asleep, 5% trying to wake up to 90%. So figure that one out. Yes, Septia, I hope. I'm trying. We have a part to play in reversing our history. Revising. I think we all have a part to play in that. I think we all have a part to play in it. It's time for us to, if you have family members, it's time for us to talk to our family members. It's time for us to help them to wake up, okay? So when you can, wake your family members up. We owe it to them to say something. We owe it to them, the Democrats and the family, to sit them down. If you guys believe in Thanksgiving and you had a Thanksgiving dinner, that would have been a great time to talk about it. You know, not without arguing, just to give your pointers, to help them to understand why you vote the way you do, okay? Yes, you're right. All of us won't be saved. Two-thirds will die. Two-thirds will die. But I do believe that don't stop. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop talking. Don't stop, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt. Don't stop. We have to continue. We have to continue trying to impact our family members, at least your family members, okay? And this is why I do my lives. I come on here and try. I have a lot of black topics. That's all I talk about, black folks, my people. I love me some black people, okay? And I'm trying to wake us up the best way I know how. I talk to them in the streets. I talk to them. I meet people at the, you know, coming out Chinese store. I pull over and say, what y'all doing? You know, black folks, what y'all doing coming out of Chinese shop? I do. I approach people. I talk to people. I'm trying my best to help us to wake up, because it's time And I'll tell you, a lot of black folks still sleep. If you're still in churches, if you still Jesus, you are still, if you're still in church, you're blinded. If you've not done your research right now, and this is the saddest thing, where I see black folks are still Christians and they still in church and they big time. I mean, I'm so glad he shut them churches down, but I see they're trying to reopen, and I'm like, this was a time for reset. If you did not do your research when you were sitting at home, if you didn't research churches, you didn't research religion, you didn't research your Christianity, if you didn't research it, shame on you, because you should have been researching. And if you didn't research, shame, 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 because that was your opportunity to learn, to be free, to wake up. And that's what a lot is going on, is Christianity has drugged us so bad, and us wanting to be around white folk, traumatized, Stockholm Syndrome, Willie Lynn Syndrome, all of those syndromes have attacked the black community, and we don't even know it. But we are asleep, and we don't know we're asleep. We just been thinking the way we've been thinking for so long. We were comfortable, so we're not going to stop. So with that said, family, I appreciate everybody that tuned in. I want you guys to like and share. I want you guys to like and share because we try to wake black folk up. I can't do it by myself. Excuse me. It's not COVID. I cannot wake people up by myself. I can try, but I can't do it by myself. So I need some help. So you guys like and share my videos. Go on my webpage. Go on my, you know, YouTube channel and share, because I have a lot of great topics on there, and that'll help us to wake up. You know, that's all I can do. I don't know what else to do. But with that said, family, I want you guys to have an amazing rest of your day. Keep your head on the swivel. Take Lucy wherever you go. Take Brad wherever you go. Don't be caught out here with nothing. Don't be caught out here with nothing. I'm telling you now, the culture, just because Trump is not in office, those people are still there, okay? Don't think those people went away. That's why we're seeing more black hangings. So don't think that those people went away. They did not go away. I want you guys to have a great day. I'm not going to keep you any longer. Appreciate it, each and every one of you guys for joining in, for taking your time out your busy schedule to spend time with me. But let's like and share the video so that we can wake up more of our people. Peace, family. All right, Blog Talk. I am ending this Blog Talk. I do appreciate each and every person that tunes in. I appreciate you so much, and we're going to do this again next, I don't know if it's going to be next Thursday or Friday. You guys just tune in, because I can come on at any moment. I'm trying to be more consistent, but just check, changes of the God, and that'll let you know what's going on and what time I'm coming on. It's always the changing of the gods for me, okay, when I come on. So I want you guys, with that said, to have a great day. Keep your head on a swivel. Be careful out here. My people that's on welfare, I want y'all to get yourself some black-owned businesses, group economics, put your money together, open up your own before they mandate you to take that vaccine. And you know what's coming. So instead of them mandating something, you guys get it together and bring your finances together. If you want to sell something on eBay, you can do that. But don't get caught with your pants down out here messing with these white folks, okay? With that said, you guys, I want you guys to have a great day on purpose. And peace, family.
The enemy came up against your home. The enemy came up against your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win. Win. You will win. Win. The enemy came against your health. The enemy came up against your finances.